Well, good morning. I am back. We are back from Mississippi and the other southern states. So Carl and I made a visit down there and a couple of different churches down there. So we know that a couple of these churches will be coming up here in the summer. So there'll be some southern language up here that you all think will be up here in a couple of months. So we're kind of excited about them. And so these are two churches that have not been here. And so it's going to be kind of nice to have some new churches that can come up here and help us serve and do some things. So we're excited about that. Sounds like y'all did great without us, so that's good. But it is always good to be back here with your own folks. And it's always good to see other churches as well. But a lot of things are happening for New Life right now. A lot of things. So just stay focused. Pay attention to your bulletin. We don't always go over all the announcements, but pay attention. There's a lot going on. But we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 36 this morning. And as we go there, just not sure how I want to introduce, how I want to do the introduction on this message or whatever, but I just want to say that as a people, I'm going to be straight and frank this morning. I'm just going to be right out in the open this morning. And I'm not into politics, but I'm just going to call some things out just because of the way they are. But I want to tell you, the way things are right now, it's not the first time things have happened to countries like, you know, a country with all the things that are going on. As we go here, we know that God's people have been taken captive by Babylonian, those guys. And so they've taken over. They've been in this bondage thing. They've become slaves. They've lost their country. They've lost everything. Israel is just, their present condition's not good. Their nation's dead. They're just restoration and everything just seems like it's an impossible peace. Israel is just in a big mess, and we're going to be speaking a little bit about this whole dry bones piece, but this God's plan, you know, this whole dry bones is to signify this piece of God restoring Israel again, not just physically, but also spiritually, and so God has a plan to restore them, because they were in so much sin, and God allowed them to fallen away from God, and God allowed them to go into bondage. And sometimes when you lose everything you got, you can't help but to finally look in the mirror and say, it's me. And God allows us to get there sometimes. And I'm going to read a few verses in 36, but 37 is where we want to be. But on verse 36, God's going to share. I want to tell you that God's mercy and His grace and His compassion is more than we can really comprehend. He has compassion when we don't have compassion. He loves when we don't love. He has mercy when we're ready to cast judgment. God is this compassionate, mercy, and holy and loving God. But there's also a part where He will judge, and there's the other side that we don't talk a lot about. And so what He did, He made a judgment on Israel and allowed them to be caught up in captivity. And that's where you would get the stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nehemiah, and you get Daniel, and you get these guys here. But God is going to restore these people. He says in verse 30, chapter 36 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is probably one of the hardest books of the Bible to really kind of comprehend. It's one of the toughest. There's a lot of prophetic pieces in it. But God says in verse 35, He says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols." Did you catch it? All your filthiness and all your idols. These are the problems that the people of Israel have done. I'm going to go through something. So we think that's their problem, of their filthiness and of all their idols. We in America are drawn away from God. It's a fact. I'm going to go through this list that I wrote down. It breaks my heart to even have to write it down. I didn't like it. But pornography is taking over the eyesight and destroying marriages. Sex trafficking is really huge and it's really big. It's been around, but it's just getting out. People selling others, people for sexual things. And here's the problem. We blame it on the ones that are selling and involved in the business, but we're not pointing blame to the guy or the girl that's going out getting it, getting involved in it. And we have a drug and we have an opiate problem, an epidemic in this country, and they're trying to figure out how to fix it. We have an alcohol problem. We have preachers out there that are preaching hate messages, and then you got some preachers that are preaching hate messages. And let me tell you, a hate message is not speaking in love. It's not a hate message is not when you say something the Bible tells you something that is true and you're preaching it, but you got to preach it in love. Okay? But we don't call people names. We don't do those things. But here we got some preachers that are preaching hate messages. We have some preachers that are running around looking for jets. They have jets and they live in $25 million homes, $10 million homes. They're out there. We have false teachers that are selling out on their birthright. We see this whole thing going on right now. And then we move on just a little bit further. We have over 2 million people in gangs right now, M13, 8. You got the Bloods, Crips still, you got all the bike, Hell's Angels, you got all them going on. Prisons and jails are overcompensated, they're over capacity. We have more prisons than any other country in the world, and ours are over capacity. We have an abortion, that's a whole abortion of killing babies. Our restaurants are empty. Some of our restaurants are closing down. I remember going to Steak and Shake. They had to close down a whole half a day early because they didn't have nobody that wanted to work. So there's jobs out there, but there's few people that want to work. There's a lack of workers, and we ask for a prosperity. God gives it to us, but we don't want to work. I have a relative that told me, I probably shouldn't even say a relative. But listen, if you say you want to work 25, you're only 25, 26 years old, and you say you only want to work, you think full time is 25 hours a week, come on. And you want to make $25 an hour. So businesses are struggling. There's work. They want to make money. The businesses are paying people even more. You got young people making more money than most of us that are older. And they don't want to work a full-time job. We have a gaming, a computer, and a phone addiction problem. Some of you might even be on your phone right now. You may be on Ezekiel chapter 36 too, so that's good. I hope so. But we put hours in gaming, we put hours in, and we put hours on the computer, we put hours on the phone, and next thing we know, how many of you looked at your phone and said, wow, where'd that 45 minutes go? Some of my, where'd them 2 hours go? We got those problems, and then we turn around and we're legalizing, we want to legalize marijuana. The government spends millions of dollars and billions of dollars in the 70s and 80s to stop the epidemic of the marijuana because marijuana is a gateway drug. And then we turn around and our government wants to say we need to make money off of that. And we all know, I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I used to buy drugs. I used to work for the government. We used to buy drugs. I was in that. But the CIA, I tell you, they run the show. That's all I can say. We were already making money. But we want to legalize it. And the ramifications is horrible. I don't even talk about car insurance, all that. That's going up. Suicide rates are going up. This whole bullying there. I've had 3 stories in the last couple of weeks about two young boys and a young female in school. And they were bullied and they killed themselves. The suicides are up. We have a problem in our schools. They're out of control. We have shootings in schools. And now they went shootings not just in schools, now there's shootings in churches. And then we get into DCS, Department of Child Services. Just talking about Indiana. I have the paperwork on it. I was given the paperwork. Indiana's budget was depleted last year in 2 months. The first 2 months it got its money, it depleted the full year. Spent over $284 million. They were over budget. $284 million over budget. We have a welfare problem. People want to work. They want to get on welfare. There are people that need to be on welfare. I get that. But I don't understand how somebody can be happy with $800 and not be happy if you're physically able to work. And you're happy with $800 and not happy with getting a full-time job and moving your body and moving around and doing those things. But we're going to sit back because we can be on two or three of these problems. But there are people that need it. That's why we have it. But it's being abused. And that's what's going on in the world. But then when we look in the churches. In the South, just talking with the guys over the last weekend, there's a brokenness in the South because they have many churches, but they don't have any pastors. There's empty pulpits in the churches right now, and if they know there's a retired pastor, they all run after him trying to get him to fill the church on that Sunday. So if there's a pastor down south, and he is a called man of God, he's got more work than he can ever possibly do. He can't be in all those churches at the same. There are empty churches in the South, the Bible Belt. There are empty churches down there. There's also 100 to 200 churches that are closing every week in America. They're trying to open up new churches, but then, you know, I don't even know if you know, there's been a couple that's been trying to start here in this last year, and they've already fizzled out. They're already done. I met those guys. But they already closed. And attendance in American church is declining everywhere. It's everywhere. The attendance is declining. Look at your own attendance. Is it declining? We're seeing now we're kind of opening. You know when you went to school and they would give you the grade you on the curve? The church is grading on the curve now. The church is doing the attendance on the curve now. If you can go to church once a month, you're a regular attender now. That's what they're saying. If you go to church once a month, you're a regular attender. And you look at all this, and you look at our country, there's a whole lot of other things. You know, the whole politicians and all that stuff. And just how far can we go? And then here's the thing. People stand up and says, where is God at in all of this? And that's not the question, because the question is simply answered. God is here. We have just chosen not to talk to Him. We've chosen not to walk with Him. We've chosen to do other things. And we've fallen into these things. Now they're trying to get people that are 16 years old of age and let them vote. Come on. At 18, you can barely tie your shoes. You barely show up to work on time. Nowadays, you go to work, you can be late, 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 and they still keep you because they don't have enough workers. And I know enough guys that are GMs, and they've told me this, we don't even do drug testing anymore. And he goes, I don't understand it. They go, I don't understand it because the equipment that around us, if you are, it can really hurt somebody. This country, this is what you get when you fall away from God. And God saw it way back when. It's not the first time. God's people were falling apart. And He allowed them to go into slavery. Let's jump down here for a moment. Let's jump down here. He's talking about He wants to bring them back to life. He wants to bring them. He says, I want to multiply the fruit in your life and those kind of things. But then he goes down here in verse 31. He says, then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good. We need to remember those things that we didn't. Listen, we know that if we ask for forgiveness, God forgives us of those things. But He also gives us, he says He throws them from the east as far as from the west and remembers them no more. He forgives us. He knows how to do that. But He's given us a brain with a memory so that we remember, so that we don't repeat those same things again. And that's what He's saying. He says, then for your sake, or He says, 31, then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight, for in your iniquities and your abominations. We need to feel bad when we do bad things. When we sin, we need to feel bad. But we're trying to make those things that are wrong right. There's other scriptures that even tell you that as well. But verse 32, not for your own sake do I do this. Now, here's the thing. We think that God does everything for us. For our sake. But no. He says, it's not for your sake I do this, says the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed. He says, I want you to be ashamed and confounded for your own ways. You really messed up. We go to Christ and we ask for forgiveness and we want to walk on. But we need to really, we need to know that we messed up. We need to own it. If we sin, we need to own it. Ask for forgiveness of it. And we need to own it. We did that thing. And we need to get up and we need to walk away and do what the Bible says. Repent, which means to turn away from it. And it continues to go on in that direction. And he says, why does it? He says, well, basically, it's the last part in verse 38. He says, then they shall know that I am the Lord. God wants to be revealed that He is God. That's why He does it. It's not just for, always for our sake that He heals us. It's for people to know that He is God. He can change lives. He can change nations. He can change circumstances and situations. It's not just for our purposes. We have become a people of self-gratification. I didn't even talk about entitlements. It's amazing. But God gives the prophet Ezekiel vision, prophetic piece. He tells him all that he wants to do, but he wants to give him a visual. We kind of learn more about visuals, right? But he wants to give him a visual, and he says in verse 37, it's a message that is preached many times for revivals. It is a message because it talks about. Well, let's go into it. Chapter 37. He says in verse 3, and he said to me. This is what God said. He says, son of man, can these bones live? He shows him a valley of dry bones. And he says, and God asks this man, Ezekiel, can these bones live? It's amazing. God wants to ask a question. He has all the answers. So why does He ask a question? It's more for us to learn. It's more for us to know. And he says, here is, can these bones live? And I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. He says, Lord God, you know. The world is doing what it does. It will try to find an answer to every question and every problem. It will do anything and everything and try anything and everything, but they will not use God. Jesus cannot be part of the equation. Jesus cannot be the answer to the world because the world is lost. It does the way of the world. But God's not asking someone that is lost. He's asking one of His people. And He says, can these bones live? And He says, oh Lord, you know. Do you know that you can be living and not be alive? You can be walking, but you're not breathing. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to dive into this thing here really good. He says again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O Lord, or he says, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a noise and settling and rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And indeed, as I looked, the suins and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and the breath of the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, exceedingly great army. What it's saying is this, when a nation or people are flat out dead, you could be like bone, just bone. There's nothing living in you. You're walking, but you're not alive. You're kind of that dead person walking. You there's nothing. You are dead. You are just dead. You there's nothing in you that is nothing. And that's the way some of our spiritual life is today. You look like you are a Christian. You talk like you're a Christian, but your actions are completely the opposite. Because we fall in some of these categories that we're talking about earlier, just in some of the dry bones in our nation. We're not taking God serious. We've, as pastors, have preached on certain things and not on all things. It is very hard to find the preachers to preach in the book of Revelations anymore. But it's all about how you get your best life now. It's all I can get. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Great verses. It's amazing. It's God's Word. It's good. But you can't eat the sugar. You can't eat the candy all the time. You got to get into the Word of God. You got to get into it. But we don't like it when we start putting the mirror up and say, I've got an attitude. I've got a problem. I don't like this. I don't like that. That just doesn't fit my lifestyle. That just don't fit the way that I think it should be. This is what I think God thinks. This is what I think the Word thinks. This is the way I'm going to live my life. Listen, you think. But you're just one of them dry bones sitting out there in the valley. Nothing. Dead. And God tells Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm the only one that can bring you out of that hole. I'm the only one that can put you back together. You've fallen apart. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. You're about physically dead. You only got so much time left in the world. But God is the only one that can. We talk about being set free all the time. Because I think the problem is we're helping people. It's a good part. We're showing people how to get saved. We're telling them they can help them and break the chains of addictions and all that. That's good stuff. But we're not telling them how to live after that. We're not showing them how to live after that. Because we're not even living like that. We're adapting God's Word to how we feel, to what we want. And God's Word is not a smorgasbord. You can't pick and choose what you want. It's all the meal. It's all the spiritual meal. And God's showing him, it's only by him, only by God, that these valley of dry bones, these people, can be raised up. Only by God. Only by God. And you're only saved today. Those of you that are saved, you're only saved by God. And that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. God says something here in verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. He's saying all them bones out there you just saw. All them bones. All that. Here's the thing. It wasn't just one set of dry bones. It wasn't two. It was the whole valley. A whole valley. And he says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. I want to take a moment here. I want to slide over here and take a little rabbit trail for a minute. Be careful. We heard this in the leadership training, but be careful who you let speak into your life. Because the people that speak into your life don't always tell you the truth. Be careful who you listen to in Christian radio. Listen to the songs that you say you drive through, because there's some major groups out there, and I'm not going to mention them, that are singing songs that are not theologically sound. There's a different gospel running around, but it looks like the real gospel. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. It'll lure you down the wrong path. The whole house of Israel. This is the whole house of Israel. And this is what he says. They indeed say. This is what the bones say. Our bones are dry. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm spiritually empty. You ever felt? Do you feel spiritually empty? Spiritually dry? I'm dry because I don't read the Word anymore. And I don't pray. Listen, if you're not praying, praying is easy. For most people, praying is easier than reading. But you need both. If you're not praying, you'll become spiritually dry. If you're not reading, you will struggle in decision making. When I say reading, I'm talking about reading God's Word. If you are one of those that will have a tendency to waver because you're listening to what everybody else is telling you and not reading it for yourself. Now, there's people that I like to listen to, and I get some good insight, and God speaks through their messages to me, and I need that. But I can't just live off of what they say. I need to read the Word for myself. I need to have a meal with myself. Listen, here it is. Being dry, listen, I've been there. This is the best piece that has helped me. I struggled because I always thought that you needed to be intimate with God every day. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. It's kind of like when you're married. You can't be intimate every day. You just can't. You can't have intimacy every day. You just can't. But you can be close. Does that make sense? You can be close. And you have intimacy. And you're close. You have intimacy. You're not going to have a high mountain experience with God every day. But you can walk with Him and be close. But when your bones are dry, there's no intimacy. And you're not close to God anymore. You don't pray. You don't read. And here's the danger. This is what happened to the people of Israel. They started drawing away from God and started drawing to the world. They drawed away from their Christian godly friendships and started drawing to worldly, sinful relationship and friendships. And we get dry. We start to self-justify sin. And then we begin to live in sin. Come on, are we speaking? Yes. But as a believer, and your church attendance drops too. And as a believer, there's this still small voice that's in here that just weighs so heavy. And you know that things are not right in here. As loud as everything else around you, there's this one, it's right in here, and you know, and it's convicting and it's heavy. And you do this, we push it down. Get down there, I don't want to hear it. Get down there, I don't want to feel it. Get down there, so we actually go into even sin a little bit more. We do that. And so we end up with some dry bones. And then we get to a place and we say, there is no hope, because that's what He says. He says, our bones are dry. And He says, our hope is lost. This is what the bones are telling. God's saying, this is what the bones says. There is no hope. Our hope is lost. And when we have that feeling, what it is we stop loving. Loving shuts down. It shuts down. This country has lost the ability. We don't love anymore. We hate. That's what we're doing. We're hating people. We're hating people for what they believe. We're hating people what they do. We're more into the hate and there's no love. So there's that hope is shut down. We don't care about the things of God anymore when we have no hope. We don't care about those things. We become depressed and we become discouraged. Life isn't worth living. I feel like quitting. And it's the feeling of hopelessness. And yet it doesn't even stop there. And then it says, and we ourselves are cut off. We're done. We're shut out. We're at the end. I can't do it no more. And when we get to the part where we say, I can't do it no more, that's when God goes to work. Because what happens is we get to these places, sometimes we loop back around. Some of you know where I'm talking about. You're in one of my groups. You get to a spot in life, you think you're doing great, and you whip right back around. You're not going through the full cycle of this whole redemption piece of all repairing your life. It's kind of like going out of the hospital too soon. It's not finishing the work that needs to be done on your body. You're not doing the therapy that you're not finishing the pieces that need to be done for you to become well physically. And in here, it's spiritually. We're not doing those things. So we can't just say, I've got this, and that done, and I'm good. No. When you feel that you have dry bones and there becomes no hope, and there comes a place where you feel like you're cut off, I want to tell you, when you get to the place, the Bible says if we confess our sins, we stand before God, we plead for God will restore us if we turn away from the wickedness and the sinful things in our lives. When did God do His best work in your life? When you called out to Him and you started allowing Him to put His fingers on you. When was your dry moment? When you pushed His hands away and you began to do it your way. It's simple. Who runs your life? You or God? God can restore. He's the only one that can restore. God's the only one that can give life. Our hope is in Him. That's what we need. We need Him. Because some of us here, we look like we're alive, but we're really alive. We're living, but we're not alive. And it can't just be all about you and what you can get from God. There's people teaching that and preaching that. But God said this, it's not for your sake that I do this. It's that others and you may know that He is God. That there is a God. And this world is His. We've trampled and trampled over the creation of God. We rebelled against Him, but because of His awesome love and His awesome compassion and His amazing mercy, we are still able to breathe the air that He has given to us. We're able to still have the body that He has given to us. You know, we die because we've sinned. The blame comes to ourselves. The valley of dry bones is real. And the world is trying to find a way to fix it. The United States is trying to fix it. If it's for them, for finances, for some states, it's legalizing marijuana. Just call it out. I don't put my trust in a country. I put my trust in God. And I will tell you that right now the group of Africans that are calling out this piece about we will not sell our birthright out like the Americans. We will not sell our birthright out if you choose this direction. I want to tell you, God is doing amazing things. He just doesn't do them here in America. He's doing them across the world. We feel like we're special because we're Americans. Israel felt special because we have God. God allowed them to go into captivity. They lost everything. And those who wanted to stay back and fight, they died. Because God said it was going to happen that way. The valley of dry bones was able to stand back up and snap back together and have muscle and flesh and blood and skin. But yet it still did not have breath until God gave it breath. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And the valley of dry bones Have you ever walked through the valley of dry bones? It's something when you see others in the valley of dry bones. What about when you were also laying in the valley of dry bones? We need to thank God for Him stopping and putting us back together again. Allowing us to stand up and now start not just being living, but to be alive. And to be alive in Christ. The Bible says to fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ, the perfecter of our faith. We are to fix our eyes on Him, because when we fix our eyes on other things, it will lead us down the wrong path. I'm not going to get much into this piece here as I get ready to close, but there is a day of judgment for people and for nations. We need to do what we can to influence those that are around us, and do what we can to influence our country. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders, whether you agree with them or not. We need to pray for our leaders. But you're not going to do that if you're also in the valley of dry bones. If you're lying, if your best Christian testimonies were in the past and you're not living in testimonies today, then pretty good odds that you could be in the valley of dry bones. If you're living in sin right now and you have sin in your life, it's pretty obvious you can be in the valley of dry bones. If your heart isn't right and you have an attitude toward the church, you have an attitude toward God, you have an attitude toward things of life, and you have an attitude just in your life, period, it'd probably be easy said that you're probably in the valley of dry bones. How do we get it right? Very simple. We let Jesus take charge. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to give you, we're going to just take a moment here.